Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome to OPE, the Ohana Packers Edition podcast. I am your host, Iowa Joe, and as you can see, it's just me. Just kind of a late night thing here. Got to get an episode out doing the linebackers of both on roster and the prospects in the draft. Mike is on vacation to the motherland and really had a hard time finding a guest for this episode. So why not just let it be me and, you know, do a late night live. And then if anybody jumps in, I can answer your questions. I can, you know, babble my way through this, but it's just going to be me. It's just going to be some quick conversation and we'll go from there. So this week we are going to be talking about the linebacking core and, you know, really, It's a rough conversation because we are so used to the 3-4 defense that we got used to just one body type, like Rashawn Gary or Lucas Van Ness or Preston Smith, where they were taller, they were thicker than normal, and now we've got to look at the linebackers for a 4-3. On top of that, this linebacking class for the 2024 draft is not the most appealing out there. So there's one or two that maybe are top of the list, and then it really falls off from there, and you're going to just get maybe some role players, maybe some guys that are diamonds in the rough, and you've just got to hope that they come around. And that's hard to do when the Packers are limited with what they have currently on their roster. So obviously on the roster, they have Quay Walker. That's your main guy. And that just, which is not bad. I mean, he really came on this past year and, you know, first round pedigree, Georgia pedigree, has the athleticism to be that linebacker. Then who's probably going to be playing beside him? They're probably going to give Isaiah McDuffie a chance at that. You know, he really came on when Devondre was out with injuries and all the stuff that they were dealing with Devondre. So Isaiah McDuffie, you know, he's got a shot at it. But then after that, they re-signed Christian Welch. They re-signed Eric Wilson. Both have a ton of experience in 4-3 defenses. But relatively speaking, they're probably going to be more special teamers. I hate to say that because Welch is a Hawkeye alum, and you guys know how I am about my Hawkeye alums. So, but I don't know how much more that they're going to give outside of special teams play and then stepping up, barring, you know, just for rotation wise and for injury replacements and the such. So it's going to be, it's really surprising that they haven't plucked one out of free agency as of tonight, 3/25, March 25th. But there's still plenty of time to do it. obviously they're going to have to make some kind of move in the draft. I'm still wondering if maybe a trade is possible. I do think with Gutekunst having mentioned two or three different times that they have the draft capital, that they are not opposed to trading for a veteran type player. Now, obviously what the Packers are going to be looking for is somebody who is relatively younger, who's on maybe a couple years left on the contract, maybe hasn't really panned out for the team that he's currently on, but still has time to get it all figured out. And hopefully in the new revamped Packers defense, they'll be able to get the potential to become reality. So there are a lot of things that they can do. Unfortunately, the draft is going to be limited for what they can do. Now, with that being said, being a content creator, being part of the Packers content creators, even though we're a smaller show, we don't know what the front offices know. I know we have a lot of great guys out there that are, you know, really good with the draft, but nobody knows what Gutekunst and the scouts and the coaches know about the incoming draft class. They can do much better deep dives than me or anyone else in the Packer community or in the NFL community, period. So we can say that there's not much in the class. We can look at RASs and we can look at all that stuff, but it says a different thing to us compared to what it says to the front office for an NFL team. And Gutekunst has said 100 times before that he doesn't pay attention to RAS, which is kind of weird, being that he seems to take a lot of high RAS players. So does he pay attention, or does the metric that they follow fall in line with what we know as RAS or relative athletic score? So don't know if he's just trying to keep hush hush on what he does, or, you know, there's always secrets that the front offices won't tell the fans and the media and all that stuff. But yeah, as of right now, the current look of the Packers linebacking core is not tasty. They have a bunch of, they have their main guy, Quay. They have, as Mike would say, they have maybe 1.5 linebackers right now, starting linebackers, and that's Quay and McDuffie. Quay is obviously the main guy, the guy that they're going to build the linebacking core around. He's going to be the guy that takes the majority of the snaps. He's going to be the field general per se. So it's finding the guys that'll fit around him or that will work with him to really be the linebacking core for this Green Bay Packers in the 2024 season. So just kind of taking a look at the roster, I did miss one. They did bring in Christian Young out of Arizona. He's 6'1", 221, and I think he spent some time on the practice squad. But and there's going to be some decisions to be made with the current roster, because, like I said earlier, what are the physical traits that they're going to be looking for this linebacking core? Like Mike and I talked with Jake last week, we didn't find a lot of the quote-unquote edge players that fit what the Packers normally look for in an edge. But now that they're in a 4-3 defense, which there's not a great deal between 3-4, 4-3 front sevens, but there is enough that you have to change – some things, because now you're playing more four down linemen. So you have to figure Rashawn and Van Ness are going to probably be your two end guys. Where does that leave Preston? Is he going to be another defensive end? Is he going to drop back and be one of the 4-3 outside linebackers? How's he going to work with that? Is he going to, you know, now that he's kind of hitting that twilight of the career, he's already a little bit above his peak. Is he just going to be a rotational pass rush specialist? Is he going to do, what's he going to do? I know the joke is he's CB1 because that's what, you know, Joe Barry always put him on, and Mike can give you a better deep dive and has given you a better deep dive on why that was the case. But I really don't know if I want to put all those snaps of coverage for Preston. Again, you know, he's kind of hitting that, he's already kind of hit the peak. He's not quite hit that downhill slope, but he is still above what you would hope for in a young defense and a transition to a different scheme. So I really hope that they find a place for Preston just because of his loyalty he's had so far. I think a lot of us can agree that when we thought of that 2019 free agent class, we didn't think Preston was going to be the lone guy left from it. You know, with the way Zadarius played before the whole attitude showed up, we figured, you know, maybe Zadarius, and we didn't think Adrian Amos was going to have that big of a drop off in talent from in his last year for the Packers. And of course, Billy Turner was just Billy Turner. And I don't think many were surprised that he didn't make it for multiple contracts, but it is what it is. So now that leaves, you know, some decisions to be made on some other people. So you're looking at like Britton Cox and Keyshawn Banks and guys like that, because their physical traits are more in line to a 4-3 outside linebacker, even though Britton played more of a defensive end in college in a 4-3 style. Is he going to stand up and be relied upon in coverage? And because right now, according to the Packers site, he's listed at 6'4", 250. Keyshawn's listed at 6'3", 251. Kingsley Enagbare is listed 6'4", 258. So he's a little bit on the other side of it. DeAndre Johnson, who is another practice squatter they had, 6'3", 252. Isaiah is 6'1", 227. Is that somebody that is that the type of body style that they're going to want to go along with Quay? Or do they want the 250s style weight for guys that they draft? We don't know. It's a big question because right now we don't even know per se what they're looking for, just because they haven't signed an outside free agent for us to say, okay, well, that's going to be the style linebacker that they're going to have. There's a big kind of gap between what Isaiah and Quay are. I mean, Quay's 6'4", 241. I just said Isaiah 6'1", 227. So that's 3 inches and like 17 pounds difference. So does that mean that they're going to want to double up on those two types of linebacker or what? So it's really going to be interesting when we get further along to see if the Packers sign one of these, what do you want to call them, second tier free agents, or if they're going to, or what they're going to go into the draft with. So again, it's kind of surprising they haven't made a jump on an outside free agent. And I'm not talking like bringing Welch back, bringing Eric Wilson back or anything like that. I'm talking like a Jerome Baker that I think is still out there, or guys like that, that, you know, without looking it up, I'm not even quite sure who's still out there for the Packers to pick up. I know Jerome, I think, is still out there. Let's see, Sport Track, what can you tell me? Inside linebacker. All statuses available. Zach Cunningham. Yeah, these guys aren't really looking. Let's just do it this way. Tyus Bowser, Isaiah Simmons, Cunningham, Shaquille Leonard, Quan Alexander. Yeah, there's not really a lot still out there to work with to, according to what I'm seeing right now, if this is even a real updated list, that would be the type that you'd want to bring in, unless it's like a real cheap, you know, easy cut deal and just see what they have left, or just be a mentor for whoever will the Packers draft. So on that note, I see we got some viewers in here, so I appreciate it. If you have any questions, be sure to drop them. I'm not sure where all of you are watching from, so if you're on YouTube, drop it there. If you're on Twitter, drop it there. I'll do my best. Obviously, it's kind of a mess right now because I don't have anybody but me, so I'm just trying to ramble to make sure I hit a certain time limit. So, and like I said, this draft class for 2024, if you ask most people who look into the draft, will admit that this was not the most appealing class in the world. If you go by Raz, which, you know, like I said earlier, that's something that Goody says that he doesn't really follow, yet it's kind of coincidental that he does, show favoritism to somebody who has a high RAS. So who knows if his metrics meet up there with what we call RAS. So it just, this class if we were looking for a linebacker, let's say last year or even the year before, it would have been a lot better than coming out this year. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14 players that are listed as linebacker that currently have a green RAS score according to RAS.football, which is the place that does the RAS calculating. Now, I know there's been a lot of players that didn't test at the combine and their pro days haven't happened quite yet. I was watching Jeremiah Trotter Jr. earlier, and that was one of the cases with him, was there were limited numbers with him because he didn't do a lot of the testing at the combine. And I believe their pro day isn't until April 9th. So it's kind of an incomplete on some of those guys. But you can also make a case that, like we were talking with Jake last week, that there may be some guys that were considered edge rushers that possibly could be the linebacker for the Packers. So one that really springs to mind is Chop Robinson. And Jake and Mike really had the long conversation about if it could guarantee that he would be used and would play like a Micah Parsons, then that would probably be the obvious choice. So there are some guys out there like that. I know Mike talked last week about Dallas Turner out of Alabama, and he's another one that I've seen listed as both a linebacker and an edge rusher. So, you know, and he's got about the size for both. So is that another guy that they could take with the possibility of making him the Sam linebacker for the Packers? And I'm just using terminology that I hear everybody else use. So if I'm using it wrong, please do call it out, because I don't usually call them by their technical names. They're usually just inside linebackers or outside linebackers. I never said I was a full genius when it came to the NFL or football in general. I know what I know and I see what I see. So again, you know, I just want to reiterate, if you have any questions, you know, please do drop them in the comments or in the chat, and, you know, let me know what you want me to talk about or whatever. If you got a comment, if you got a question, just go ahead and drop them, and I will do my best to answer them if I see them. So with that, let's go ahead and talk about some guys that I did watch that I was able to find stuff on to watch and what I thought about them. I did try to stick with higher RAS scores. Now, there are some on here that don't, I didn't look at the RAS because, like I said, using Jeremiah Trotter Jr. as an example, there just is not enough information to give a full RAS score for him. So it just, it's what I can see, but I will give the disclaimer that I'm not happy with the way I evaled without seeing some other numbers first. And by that, I usually, if I have a question about speed, I would like to see what the 40 says just to see what their long speed is. Because even though you can't really see some of the long speed on tape, they still have the potential to reach that long speed at some point. So it shows that maybe there's a technique issue that they need to work on to get their play speed up to what their actual speed is. So I'm going to go ahead and jump into everybody's favorite linebacking prospect that everybody is already mocking to the Packers. And I do believe that he will probably be the first one off the board. So whether or not the Packers will even have a shot at taking him is going to be another question. But, you know, if he is there, if there is the possibility, it would be awesome, because I think he is probably the prospect to be taking at the moment. And that is Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M. So, you know, obviously, if you go by the RAS, he has a 9.26 RAS, which, you know, obviously is high. They rate it out of 10. He, according to the RAS scores and what he measured, he's got good arm length. Brian Maffei obviously would love his arm length because it is a 34-inch length. His height is a little under what these guys, what the RAS scores do rate as a good one for a linebacker. He is a little underweight at 230, but again, is he going to be playing in the, you know, Isaiah McDuffie role? So is that something the Packers are going to be looking for? Vert and Broad are good. They're not great, but then you get to his elite numbers, which is he had a 4.5 140, a 2.6 420, and a 1.5 6 10. Now, he has nothing on the books for his other agility tests, so who knows if that would knock him down any in his RAS or what. But, you know, obviously there's a lot to like about him. He has great athleticism. His awareness was solid. It really surprised me that when I watched him, he immediately knew where the ball was going to be and would immediately head that way. And it didn't matter. He, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, and like I said, I'm not an expert or anything like that, he is your sideline to sideline type guy, because he was just all over the field. I wish his tackling was a little more sound. In some of the videos that I was seeing, he was trying to arm tackle more than wrap up. So he was trying to grab and pull down instead of just making the hit. And there were some instances of him maybe being a little hesitant when he probably should have went more for the kill shot instead of hesitating, because it looked like he had the power to be able to run over a pass blocking running back or a tight end or something, and he didn't. He just got caught up in the trash. So I don't know if that's what the scheme called for in those plays. I don't know if it's him unsure, because like I said, he seemed to track the ball well. I did also see a couple times with his coverage that even though he knew where the ball was going, he like stopped short. So I don't know if that's because he was hoping there was safety help over the top, so he stopped short thinking the safety was going to take him or what, but there were like a couple of catches that he probably could have broke up had he continued on with the player that he was covering. But again, he's probably out of all of them the more sound linebacking prospect. So again, that makes me think he's going to be probably the first one off the board. And now whether or not we saw that, you know, this past draft, the 2023 draft, the Lions took Jack Campbell high. They took him, what was it, with 14? Somewhere around there. It was a top 20 anyway. And, you know, a lot of people were panning that because, oh, well, you don't take a linebacker that high. Well, he lived up to that hype. And again, that's biased. That can be a little bit biased because I'm a Hawkeye homer and we all know that. But so with what Campbell was able to do after being drafted that high this past season, is somebody going to take a shot on Cooper and do that this year, knowing that he's probably the top of the class and there's a quite a bit of a downfall after him when it comes to polished inside linebackers? I mean, obviously I don't know. Again, I don't know what the Packers brass are thinking, but if he's there at 25, do the Packers just go ahead and pull the trigger on him? Do they kind of hope that he falls to their first, second round pick and take him? Really, it's going to depend on what they believe their biggest need is and what the draft board looks at that time. But I think with what I saw out of Cooper and with him being a more polished prospect than the other guys that I've looked at, I think that there's a solid possibility they could take him at 25. Even, I mean, the Packers broke the whole no taking a linebacker in the first round thing with Quay. So if they feel just as strong about Cooper as they did about Quay, you know, will they go ahead and take him if he's there? Because I don't know if you can trust that he's going to fully be there when their first round pick comes around. If they do take the gamble and he is there, then, you know, hopefully they nailed the first round pick with a position. And I'm going to say that they probably picked up their running mate with Quay for however long those two will play. So the next on the list is probably, I've seen probably listed as the number two linebacker, and he's got a higher RAS than what Edgerrin does, but I think he's a little rougher around the edges than what Edgerrin is. And that's Peyton Wilson out of North Carolina State. Now, his RAS score, again, this is out of 10, is a 9.81. His height is 6'3", which, you know, they say that's an elite height for him. He, again, is another undersized guy with weight at 233. But he ran the 40 in 4.43, 20-yard split 2.58, 10-yard split of 1.53. Vert and Broad were good, but not elite. So he's probably that guy that if you miss out on Edgerrin in the second and you can get Peyton with your second rounder, I think would make an okay draft. But I don't think he's as polished as Edgerrin is. Now, obviously, he's got great speed. I thought his coverage ability is good. When he runs free, he creates havoc. But I don't think he has the strength to be able to disengage him from a block. So if he's the one rushing the passer or trying to fill the gaps on a run play, I don't know if he has the strength or the ability to disengage to make that play. At least it didn't look like it on some of the film that I watched. Now, I could be completely wrong. I could be talking out of my ass. I don't know. You guys make that decision, and we'll see what happens during the draft. And I also thought that maybe his tackling technique needed work. Again, he didn't look like a sure tackler. He was an okay tackler, but some of the tackles he was making in college is not going to fly in the NFL. So that would be something that they have to work on. So again, he's probably linebacker two. But not as polished. So there's going to be a little bit of work. He's probably going to be somebody who rotates in with McDuffie instead of plays over McDuffie. Whereas Edgerrin, I think if he has a good camp, he'd be starting over McDuffie. Now, we know how the Packers are when it comes to taking rookies. They tend to rotate them in more than just go ahead and give them the starting position. But I think with the lack of depth at the linebacking position that Edgerrin Cooper could easily start right away. But who knows? Again, that's something that we'd have to worry about come training camp if the Packers ended up drafting him. So again, Peyton Wilson out of NC State would probably be linebacker two with Edgerrin being linebacker one. So I'm seeing a few more people joining. If you have a question or a comment or something, please do drop them into the chat and I will do my best to give you an answer, or I will try to make something up on the fly and make it sound good, but probably not. So ask at your own peril, something like that. So I'll go ahead and mention Jeremiah Trotter Jr. He is a guy that is another one that's a bit undersized. I think he's on the shorter and lighter side. He's obviously got the pedigree. His dad played for the Eagles for many, many years. He's coming out of Clemson, which is a solid school to be coming out of, or, a bigger school to be coming out of. I did think he was quick, but I wondered about his top speed. His movement looked fluid. I didn't really see any hitches in his step. So I would say that, his hips are pretty good. His feet are pretty good. He has a decent pass rush moveset. I saw some spins. I saw some swats. And he had a pretty good dip to him. So other than being a little bit on the smaller side, I think I would be okay with him rushing the passer for the most part. But I would love to see what his long speed would be to say, okay, well, you take coverage. Because the one thing I noticed when I did see him drop into coverage is he got a little too handsy. And again, this is another thing that sometimes you can get away with a little bit more in college than what you can in the NFL. So you've got to watch your hands. You can't always grab onto a guy. And it's going to get you, especially when you go up against some veteran type wide receivers that know how to draw the flags, or even tight ends or running backs or whatever he'd be covering. So I also thought his awareness was good. Kind of like I said with Edgerrin, he seemed to be able to track the ball very well, and he would instantly move to where he knew the ball was going. The other thing that I kind of wondered, and I don't mean this as a bad thing, but he didn't always seem like he played to the whistle. It seemed like if he didn't think the play was coming his way, he would only do half speed. And I don't know if he had some injury issues. I don't know what that is, but it was just something I just kind of slightly noticed. So that would be something to kind of look out for and hope that, kind of like I said about Malik Heath last year, it was kind of similar to that. So if he can come in the NFL and have the same type of transition Malik had, where he instantly came in, worked his ass off 100% of the time, did everything the coaches asked him to, then I think he could be a solid player, depending on, like I said, that long speed, or if they can create a job specifically for him. So he would be another guy, probably mid to late round. Again, like I've stated a lot of different times, I'm not that big on trying to put a round on guys, because it's not an exact science. And there'd be guys that we can say, oh, well, he's a fifth rounder, but a team will end up taking him in like the second round. So we've seen it before. It can happen. So I don't feel comfortable putting a round on a person unless it's a for sure shot. That's what's going to happen. So I think he could be a late day two, early day three type guy, or who knows what happens. You know, we could have another Laremy Tunstall thing, and a video of him wearing a gas mask bong could pop up, and he doesn't get drafted, period. So if that was the case, I think the Packers need to be on the phone with him ASAP and just say, all right, you come in, you straighten yourself out, and we'll put you to work. So I'll talk about a couple more guys. One that I really liked, that is another one that probably will be a late day two, maybe a mid day three guy, is Curtis Jacobs out of Penn State. I thought he had decent speed. His coverage looked good. Good ball awareness. But again, tackling was kind of an issue. And I mean, really, the Nittany Lions are pumping out three solid linebacking prospects in Chop. What was the other guy's? Adisai or Adisa and Curtis Jacobs. So again, I think he's probably going to be more of a day three type, unless he really just goes outside of his mind at the pro day, if the pro day hasn't already happened. So again, somebody that they could find late that maybe starts out as a special teams and rotates in behind McDuffie, or barring injury or whatever. Another guy that had a high RAS, and Curtis Jacobs also had a high RAS score. He was an 8.43, which is, you know, again, out of 14 guys who had green RAS scores, he's looking pretty good. A little undersized at 6'1". He was a little bit heavier at 241 than some of these other guys were. Only put up 18 reps on the bench. So I guess you could question his strength there a little bit. Arm length. Again, a Mafi stat would say that he's got short arms. He had an okay vert, but he had a tremendous broad jump at 10.4. His 40 yard was 4.58, 20 split was 2.65, and 10 yard was 1.57. So really, he had an elite grade through those, and his other agility tests, there's no information on. So again, high athleticism, probably a later in the draft type guy. So another one with a high RAS score that probably would be in the top five for linebackers in this class is Trevin Wallace out of Kentucky. Raz of 9.54, 6'1", so he's a little bit undersized, 237, you know, again, a little undersized. Vert Elite, 37.5, broad, 10.7, elite. He put up some elite numbers for his dashes. He had 4.51, 40, 2.66, 20, and he had an okay 1.62, 10-yard split. And again, no other agility things there. What I saw out of him was his speed looked good. He did look like he had some stiff hips. He tracked the ball well, and I thought he was a solid tackler. I don't think that's something that they're going to have to work on with him as much as it is some of the other guys that I mentioned. But, you know, it's again, do they go with another undersized guy to go with Quay and Isaiah already on the roster? Or do they go with some of these others that we mentioned last week with Jake that are a little undersized for what the Packers ask for in edge rushers, but maybe are the right size for a linebacker for a 4-3, like a Gabriel Murphy or a Javonte Jean-Baptiste or Trajan Jeffcoat, Nelson Caesar, Chop Robinson, guys like that. Just, you know, would they be more apt to take one of those guys to fill the spot that they're looking for on this 4-3 defense? Austin Booker. It's really going to be interesting to see how that works out. I got one more guy I can talk about, but the hell I can pronounce his name. Edifuan Ulofosio out of Washington. I thought he weeded through the traffic well. He's a little bit smaller, good RAS score. He tracks the ball well. And I used one of my rare comps on him, saying that he may be a better McDuffie. So to go with his RAS, he's top three in RAS that's measured out so far on RAS.football at a 9.66. He's 6 foot. Or he's just over 6 foot, and 236 weight. Elite numbers for Vert and Broad at 39.5 and 10.8. 40 yard is 4.56. 20 yard is 2.65. 10 yard is 1.53. You know, those are all elite numbers. Washington had a hell of a football team this year, so to get somebody off of that team would be great, probably mid-rounders. So it's really dependent on what Brian Gutekunst and co really see in him to, or see in any of these guys to make that decision. So I can't believe I made it 43 minutes and I just rambled. Like I said, if you got any questions, I'm going to probably wrap up here pretty quick. So if you got any questions, get them in quick. Comments, whatever you want to do. Let's see if anything's coming up yet. Doesn't look like it. Just messing here because I'm not. I don't usually do this by myself, so I'm hoping everything's coming through all right and everything's going good. I appreciate all of you that happened to jump on this late night stream. I'm probably going to wrap it up so I can get this edited and everything else so it can go out to anybody who didn't happen to catch the online stream. So you can catch my co-host, Mike Quano, on Twitter at Quano Mike. You can catch me on Twitter at Iowa_Joe86. You can catch the show at Ohana_Packers. Please be sure to go check out the website, ohanapackers.org, for all of our articles and a one-stop shop for the podcast, both audio and video. Find the audio version anywhere you get your podcast. We also have video on YouTube. When you do listen, please drop us a subscription, you know, subscribe so you never miss an episode. Please also drop us a like, give us a comment, tell us how you feel about us, you know, good, bad, whatever. We'll look at it. We may respond to it. We'll probably respond to it, maybe, kind of, something like that. Somebody will respond in some way. So next week, Quano is not back yet. I believe we do have two special guests next week. So, and I think we are talking cornerbacks. I'd have to look at my schedule, but I'm pretty sure we're talking cornerbacks with Joey Van Zoomeren and Jacob Westendorf. So please be sure to tune in for that. This will drop in audio and video on Tuesday morning. I think that's all I got. We do still have a giveaway going on for the Jair Alexander signed 8x10. I believe we set it at 523 followers for the Ohana Packers account. So you must be following on Twitter the Ohana Packers account. You can follow me and Mike, but that doesn't get you entered into the drawing. Make sure you're following the Ohana Packers account to be entered into that drawing. Once we hit 523 followers, I can't think of anything else. So I'm just going to say thank you for joining. Thank you for listening. Thank you for everything. And as Mike would say, go Pack, go, and aloha.